and Winks is rounding them up, coming right around the field. Kluger takes an inside run. She's gone for home already, Winks. She beats off Hartnell. Kluger going up the inside. Happy Clubber can't go on. Winks is two lengths clear. Kluger sticks on. Then came Hartnell, but she's well clear, Winks, inside the final 100 metres. Today we farewell an Australian icon, the greatest of all time. Winks wins a third. Queen Elizabeth beats Kluger. Hartnell third. Happy Clubber fourth.
It was another amazing performance by the champion mare, Winks, yesterday to close out her career on a winning note, much to the joy of the entire nation and her band of owners, including Peter Tighe, who's been generous enough to share the journey right throughout with us on this program. And he's kind enough to have woken up early this morning to have a chat with us. How are you today, Peter?
Oh, Joe, I'd probably say a bit dusty, but very happy. And, very contented with the way things went yesterday.
I bet. What a huge relief, firstly, it must have been to see her get around safely and to finish on the winning note that she did amidst what was such an amazing atmosphere at Randwick, a complete sea of blue and white and so many adoring fans that just gravitated to the course to be there and be part of history.
Yeah, it sure was one of those days to be there. Like, there were so many people and it was a fun day, you know. There wasn't a sad face in the house. Everybody was here to enjoy themselves, enjoy the day. The gods turned the weather on for the ATC, and it just couldn't have worked that any more perfectly. So it's not often in life that these things, you know, happen exactly the way you want them or you dream about. And to go out the way, the befitting way that Winks did yesterday was just an absolute tribute.
The feeling leading up to yesterday's race feel in comparison to the many other times you've gone to the track to watch her?
Oh, you know, it's a special day. I mean, it was a huge build-up. We'd organised, you know, like this would be her last campaign. So, you know, it would have been in our thoughts for the last 2 or 3 months that we would be having one final hurrah if we could get her there. And, you know, that's the secret of getting it, of doing everything, is just making sure that she could come through the program unscathed and get to the final race. But, yeah, look, it was just a build-up of different thoughts and what it's going to be like going forward. But, look, there's not a bad thought in my head about what we've done and how it's worked out. So it wasn't crushing or it wasn't a bad thing. It was just having a roller coaster of emotions over the last few months.
Mm. It was interesting watching the various people in the crowd yesterday shortly before the gates opened, and I think Deb Kapitis probably summed it up very well herself with the emotion on her face before the race. The reality of the fact that it was all coming to an end was very evident, and you could see her holding back the tears before the gates even flew open.
Oh, absolutely. I won't deny, we had a few tears, you know, post-race and at home, and just, you know, a quiet moment of reflecting on what had happened and what has happened over the last 4 years. So, it was truly, you know, really good, truly, you know, great feelings to have, but just tinged with a bit of sadness because we knew we wouldn't be going through this process again with her, and, that sort of thing. But, you know, grateful in what we've got, and, you know, grateful in what she's done, so. Not only the owners, the trainer, the jockey, but, you know, the Australian people and the racing crowds here and around the world. She's just galvanised, you know, racing. She's put it on the front page. She's done everything that we want in racing as a racing fanatic that I am.
And as far as legend status goes, Peter, she transcends everything. She's more than an Australian sporting legend and racing legend. She is an Australian legend, especially after yesterday.
Oh, I think that goes without saying, Joe, that, you know, anybody that questions the greatness of her, it's probably good debate, and it will be well debated over many years, but you'd have to wonder how you could ever sit there and say that there was a better horse or a better performed horse or you know, the records that she broke. And, you know, in modern-day racing, you know, the competition is a hell of a lot more stronger than in days gone by, and horses are prepared better and all that sort of stuff. So, I mean, if you're a horse owner and you're lucky enough to win two or three races in a row, you probably think that, well, we would even think that, you know, like it was the best thing in the world. So if you put that in comparison to, you know, two or three or four in a row and there's a horse that won 33 in a row, it's very hard to imagine that you could do that.
And what she's done for the sport now, but also going into the long term, is almost immeasurable. But I think it was summed up for me very much just on the sheer expression on the face of a young boy yesterday who was dressed in the Winx colours and silks like a little jockey. But he burst into tears after she won yesterday. The look on that kid's face will stay with me forever. And I would dare say, Peter, he's pretty hooked on racing now.
Well, you know, we've, as racing people, we've certainly got the desired result. We've put something out there for the next couple of generations to have a look at and think about the sport as something going forward. And everybody can be a participant. I mean, you can be 4 or 5 years old, you can be 90 to 100. It doesn't really matter. I mean, it's a great sport to get into, but you know, we along our journey met so many people, like the young, the old, you know, people that are ill, people that are less fortunate, and it just brings home that, you know, racing is something that everybody can enjoy and marvel at the feats of the animals. And you know, it's hard to find anybody that doesn't like a horse. It, you know, they're such a majestic creature, and you know, they're to be marvelled at. And when you put it all together, you know, great tracks, great facilities, great racing, and a huge crowd. You know, it's just a marvellous thing. And yeah, we hope that we've encouraged the next generation to come and join our sport.
And Peter, there were such unforgettable scenes as Hugh Bowman steered her back to scale. There were people lined up on the roadside, along the track, peering through the fence at the pair of them, which I've never seen, not in this modern era of racing at Randwick. And the complete ovation of the crowd as he got closer to the grandstand, and the roar, the noise, just amazing. It must have been incredible to be there, part of that, and to have quite literally the interest in the horse that you do, and to feel a sense of achievement, I suppose, that you have presented Australia with a complete blessing.
Oh, look, it's a great effort from, you know, a great team effort from everybody that's involved, you know, right down the chain of command at Wallace, you know, to the Bowman. It's just, you know, we take it in. It was, you know, we stood at the front, you know, against the rail to watch the race, and to turn around and just see the crowd, you know, 42,000 people cheering her on the track, cheering her whatever she did, and then we turned around to watch the race, and one of the guys that was standing beside us said, "Oh, have a look at the road, you know, the street, the fence on the outside of the track. That, you know, that it's a long fence all the way around, you know, the back of the ring." Track, and there was people everywhere. So testimony that, you know, people will remember this day for the rest of their lives, and, you know, what Winx has done for, well, you know, hopefully to galvanise Australia, and, you know, just a feel-good day that everybody can talk about.
And what a magnificent partnership Hugh and the mayor are together.
Well, just some things in life are just meant to be, and, you know, that pairing there started off just as a jockey riding a horse on a normal part of their routine, and it grew into, it will be folklore and tradition and spoken about forever, and Winx and Bowman, and just something that's just got better and better. So, you know, Hugh's affinity with, you know, with animals and the horses, and then especially Winx. So, yeah, no, he did his job in tradesmanlike style, and I think he enjoyed every minute of it, and you know, when someone's doing something that they really love doing, sports and things like that, it just comes out in them that the great efforts that he put in, is he was enjoying it that much, and really she allowed Hugh to demonstrate how good a horseman he was.
Mm. And after the race, when he dismounted, he went to give her a kiss on the nose, and she flicked her head up in the air and knocked him on the lip and split his lip open. Poor thing, he was doing national television interviews, dabbing the blood on the lip. It must have been quite sore, I'd imagine, too. But he soldiered on in his true Hugh Bowman style.
Oh, he did. He ended up getting three or four stitches in it later, so it was a pretty good whack on the lip. It swelled up, and I was with him later in the night, and he was still dabbing the blood off it. It wouldn't stop bleeding. I think he would not worry about the hit on the lip, and I think he'd be more worried that he did get a kiss on Winks. And, she was just doing what she does. Just keeps, moving all the time. Just happened to clip him.
She's a character, isn't she? And gave everybody a few heart flutters during the week at early morning track work out at Rose Hill when she was feeling a bit fresh and kicked out at the fence.
Oh, yeah, no, she... it sort of brought things home that things can turn around pretty quickly with when you've got horses or livestock. But, everything was going well. She'd done a track work, and there was just this mass of cameras and people, and I think there was 14 camera crews out there from all around the world. And Chris, wanting to do the right thing by everybody, when he got it back in the yard, he pulled her earmuffs off. And the moment that he pulled the earmuffs off, all the cameras went off, the lights went, and she just... lashed out, took a bit of fright, that was all. But luckily, no damage done to anybody standing nearby, and certainly no damage done to her.
Mm. And Chris Waller, in the way that he's managed this mare, beyond being a racehorse, he's had to manage an international superstar with a huge image and demands of media and public, which would have been constant, more than we could ever probably even know or imagine. He's remained calm right throughout and so professional and been generous in sharing the journey with us.
Oh, look, he has. I mean, last night, we went and had a bit of a celebration, and I can tell you that Chris Waller was the most relaxed I've seen him in the last 4 years. He was just enjoying himself, having a chat with everybody, just a quiet drink. And, he would be the first one to tell you that the pressure was on all the time, 24/7. And, he never really got a day off. Even when the horse was spelling, there was everybody wanting to know what she was going to do next and where she was going and how she was going. And he copped it there. And, she's one of... probably 200 horses he's got in work, so he had to put up the pressure of a multitude of owners of other horses and then try to look after this one special girl. But we couldn't have been any happier, as owners, that we had the best team to look after this horse, and they got the best out of her, and Chris is the captain of that team, and by golly, he knows how to run his business.
And a huge amount of credit should go to her regular handlers, too, Candace and Umut. The rapport between her and those strappers is quite significant because she can be a tricky horse. They've done such a good job.
Oh, they have. I mean, their dedication to her is another reason that she's so good. I mean, Umut's basically lived with her for so long. He's travelled with her when she went to Melbourne, Chris made sure that, he was hands-on with her at all times and allowed him to spend a lot of time, not just, in the morning and the afternoon, but, he went with her during the night, so they watched her and kept her happy, and he was, such a big part of it, and someone who didn't get a hell of a lot of accolades. You only see him on race day, but him and Candace, they've done a job that we can never really thank them for enough, and, we just hope that they... they've enjoyed it in their own ways as much as we have, but they're certainly right up there as part of the Winks team.
Mm. So you all wake up this morning, as we all do, having to face into the fact that the racing journey of Winks is over. But it's probably not the empty void that many people might think it is, because this story is going to continue on and on, because now she'll have a career as a broodmare, and there's no doubt you as owners will be doing speaking circuit, I dare say, for a long time to come.
Look, the only thing certain about that is Winks becoming a mum, but I don't know about the speaking circuit. But look, it's lovely to just move into that next... phase of Winx's life. I mean, we just really couldn't race her on, because we'd be eating into the next career. I mean, for her to be a good mum, she's got to do it while she's still healthy and well. So for her to go to the breeding barn and become a mum, and it's something that we're going to really look forward to, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to follow the journey of Winx and her sons and daughters and what happens to them and how they go along. So it's it is something that's just going to continue on for many, many years to come.
And one of the most anticipated announcements as we approach the breeding season for 2019 will be, who will she be mated to? That was already a burning question yesterday. People were probably driving you mad asking, Peter.
Yeah, they have, but we purposely haven't met, we haven't discussed it as an ownership group or with Chris or Hugh or Guy Mulcaster, our bloodstock agent. We just haven't discussed it because we just wanted to put all of our energies into yesterday and enjoy it. So we weren't worrying who was going to be the next or going to be the suitor for her, or, you know, where she's going to live and all those sort of questions. It'll find its level very quickly. And we'll give her a time to have a bit of a rest, and then we'll look at the pros and cons of who we think will be the best sire for her, and then we'll go forward from there. But this, we've given ourselves plenty of time to do all that sort of thing, so we'll keep everybody waiting a little bit longer, but I'm sure there'll be an announcement, you know, in the next few weeks or month or so, and we'll let everybody know. There'll be no problem there.
And that's what has been so wonderful about this journey. None of us have ever been kept in the dark right along the path. Peter, there's been so many amazing moments with Winx, so many wins, quite literally. Is there a moment that really stands out for you as an experience, or is it too early? Are you waiting for the dust to settle to properly reflect on that?
Yeah, I think that would be a bit unfair at the moment to say one was better than the other. I mean, you know, I've said many times, you know, we thought, you know, when you win an Epsom, you know, your life's been fulfilled, and when you win a Cox Plate, you think, well, now it's been fulfilled. So we went from level to level, and each one was a bigger and bigger race and a bigger and bigger event, which we were just going from one to another. But there's so many fond memories along the track, and so many people that we've met, and, you know, like, it's just some days are very special because of probably somebody we meet more than the race you won. So, you know, it's just been such a long journey, and probably by about December this year we'll have taken it all in, and we'll be sitting back watching, you know, the replays, the fond memories, and being able to have a good old chat about things, and we'll work all that out as we go along, Joe.
And has it changed you and your life in a significant way? I mean, you're a very level person, Peter, and to my eye and experience, you've never changed. The success has never affected you in any strange way. But for you, deeply and personally, how much has this all changed your life and that of your family?
Well, we get a lot more phone calls from the media. I don't want to change. I was happy being the bloke I was. So I have a lot of friends around me, and I'm sure that if I would have changed, they would have been the first ones to let me know. So we've just enjoyed the journey, and you know, Winx has done everything for us. We haven't done too much. So it would be unfair to Winx if we thought we were the bigger part of the story. So, no, we'll just go on. We'll continue to enjoy our racing. We know we want to just, you know, probably be back there next Saturday with some other horses that we're racing. And the reason we're in racing is to enjoy it. I'm not a golfer, I'm not a fisherman, I don't do that sort of thing, but I love the racing. So, you know, it's not very often that you can, you know, I suppose if I was a fisherman, I'd have to catch the biggest fish in the world to get the notoriety that I've got racing weeks. But it's all good. And, we just want to, we just want to be the same people we were coming in as we are going out.
Peter, thank you for talking to us this morning in the wake of a huge day yesterday for reasons of emotion and lots of other things as well, a closure point in your lives with Winx and for all of us too. Thanks for the memories and for producing such a wonderful mare that is now part of Australian history beyond just sport and racing.
Well, Joe, thanks for having me on your show. And I can just one last time thank everybody, from those little kids that turned up in their outfits, to people that couldn't get to the track, and they watched it all around Australia, around the world. And we hope that she's given them everybody as good a time as what we've had, and that they'll cherish the memories as much as we do.
Peter, you go and enjoy a nice long Sunday lunch and start to reflect on these moments, because it will take a while probably. It's still surreal for many of us what she's achieved, and it will be, I'm sure, for you for some time yet.
Absolutely, Joe, and thanks very much.
That's Peter Tighe, part owner of the legend Winx, retiring yesterday on a winning note at Randwick.